It is a great privilege of ours to be able to go to the Word over and over in a week's time. And I know that you are studying on your own, and I hope that you're finding that you're being instructed by Christ in many different ways, but I also hope that you're finding yourself being instructed through the preaching of His Word, and that what you hear that you agree with because you are acknowledging that what is being said from this pulpit is the Word of God. If it's not that, then every single one of us is wasting our time. I'm thankful that that His Word is instructive to the point that I can study it, I can learn it, I can teach it. But I'll tell you one of the greatest things that I like about it, the greatest treasures of my heart, is that I can obey it. That there's within me, I have found the ability to obey it. Not at all the times. I'm not saying I'm perfect by no means. But I've found the ability that as I read it and I pray about it, I find the resource to actually obey it. Because if I couldn't, I would be miserable. I mean, I would be not only miserable, but I would be... Man, I would be not only a hypocrite, but I would be standing before you with absolutely no ability to be sincere with you. I just wouldn't be able to be sincere. I would be saying, I'm telling them something that I can't do on my own. And I just want you to know that's not where I find myself. I find myself that as I learn from Christ of how to live my life, that I see it and then I can see the application of it. And trust me, I can see where I fail in that application. And I need to do more work. And so me and you, guess what? We're laboring here. We're working. We're in the same task of following after Christ. We're in the same position of being believers of Christ and following Him through everything that this world brings towards and everything that Christ gives to us. We're in the same position. And if you're not in that position, you don't have Christ in your life, then I'll just say that you need Him in your life and there's no way you can do anything we're going to talk about today. So just go ahead and just understand that if you're not a believer, then this, you're not going to be able to follow after His commandments and you need Him. Something totally different. Because today, this is what we're going to learn. It's how to live. Imagine that. We've got another how to live lesson. How to live loving each other. This is nothing new to the Gospel of John. We've actually we've had plenty of lessons on loving each other, but we find ourselves in another section right at the very end that he talks about loving each other, and he does it right after he's talked about, here's how you live connected to me, connected to the vine, so you're going to be connected to me as Christ. Now, because you're connected to me, I'm going to send you, and you're going to be connected to one another, and you're going to love one another. And then next week, we're going to learn a lesson of not only are you called to love one another, now you're going to learn how the world's going to treat you. So we're going to get all three major relationships here. How to live connected to Christ, how to live connected to one another, and how to understand when other people are not connected to us. You see that? All three of those we're going to get to learn. And we're on the second point. And it's important that as you think through our text with us this morning, that you understand that this is a relationship and you understand that we started in the very beginning. We started in the very beginning of John of saying, we need to learn how to relate to Christ. We said, as I started, look, there's a lot of lessons we could deal with in John, but I wanted to just start fresh with you and say, this is Christ, now relate to Him. I started out very strong with that. I want you to hear what Christ is doing in the world, how He related to people, and I just want you to come through this study week in and week out and just understand that that we're in a relationship with Him. So we started there, and as we get towards the end of John, we're not leaving that. Is that you need to learn this morning how to relate to Christ. And you're going to understand this morning is that almost the main point of today, one of the main points, let me just give you one of the main points as we're going to talk about relating to each other, loving one another. You must understand where the work of Christ is first. If we're going to talk about relationships one to another, you must understand where the work of Christ is. We are not going to have a lesson today that is going to be developed all around just love each other, and this is what it looks like to love each other. We're going to tie some things together. This is what the love of Christ looks like to each other. And you must understand He is doing that work, and you must gravitate towards being involved in that ministry. It is first Christ to us, and then us to others. So if we don't catch that part, if we just talk about us to one another this morning, if that's all you hear today, then you're not going to have the ability to do the work. Okay? Christ never intended us to love one another without Him. He never intended that. If you want to see what that looks like, about just horizontal love, the world has that. Okay? And guess what? Some of the world can do a pretty good job at it. They can do it. If I have not, I'm not the one that looks out into my world and says that the people outside of Christ don't morally know how to be nice to one another and how to encourage one another. There's great, you could go to great conferences probably for a week long, and people would be teaching other people, here's how you encourage people, here's how you edify, here's how you build people up to do things that they want to do, here's how to help people meet their goals in life and all those kind of things. The world knows how to have horizontal relationships. Now, they don't even understand that the reason they even know that is because God's given them enough goodness. Even that does, they have been taught from God. Any level of goodness in this world is really comes from God. But all I'm trying to say is this. If it's just horizontal, the world's got enough to teach you with that. And if you'll study that, even in the world, you're going to find out that God's even intended that to fail in comparison to His relationship as He's called us to relate to one another. So we're going to say that that's not our standard, is it? That can't be our standard. It is Christ to us first, and then us to other people. I think you know what I'm getting at. And it's important that we understand that because it's a relationship, again. It's a relationship for Christ, and it's a relationship to each other. And this is going to be important to be able to see. And so I want you to walk with me today, and I want you to grow today. I want you to learn how to be used by God in your relationships. I want you to learn, and I'm going to say this. Most of you come in today, and a lot of my audience, I'm just going to say this up front, a lot of you, as I look at you in your face, if I say, do you know how to love one another? I'm in a group of people, including myself, that could tell you how. I don't think I'm going to teach you anything with that. Maybe I will. Maybe I'll spark something that you forgot about. But I do not think I'm going to teach you and you're going to learn something that you didn't already know in this respect. But I want you to learn this morning of how to be used by God in your relationships. I want to take 30 minutes, and I'm saying that because I'm going to try with that. But it's 30 to 45 minutes, and I know. How do you guys laugh out loud? I'll tell you what, somebody start the clock. All right, I got my clock. 30 minutes from now. My introduction was just a freebie, okay? 30 minutes from now, you can watch your clock. I'm going to be watching mine. I don't know if we're going to make it or not. In 30 minutes, you need to be taught. Maybe it's just for me. You need to be taught. You need instruction. And you need it from Christ. You need to hear from Christ what He is needing to say to you so that you can be used by Him in your relationships. The reason I know you need to be taught is because Christ had to teach His own disciples this. And it's an ongoing lesson. For Christ, it was an ongoing lesson because, see, when we get to our text this morning, we're about to read it. Don't worry, I can't wait to get to it. But our text ties in all the things that he did for them. All that he did, he was, not just to wrap it up in one statement, but he does say this, love one another as I have, listen to me, as I have loved you. You know what that did? It took the disciples from the moment he met them to this moment, and he wrapped it all up in one period of time, and he says, love as I have loved you. So he takes all of that, and you know what it means? He's been teaching them everything. Now, thankfully, Christ teaches differently than we teach, because if you take all that I have loved people, if you take my for a period of time, and you try to put it into a period of time and say, now is this perfect? And I'm going to say, you got some bad spots in there. Okay? You got some bad moments in there that I've messed up. I can't say to somebody, love as I have always loved you. I wish I could say that. I wish I could say it's the most important people in my life. But it's not a true statement. I can't say it. I can't say duplicate everything in which I've shown you in which to love. Christ in His Word makes a statement that is true, that He can say, love as I have loved you. So everything He was doing with them, they didn't even know it, that He was teaching them, this is what it looks like. You catching what I'm saying? Christ's life was trying to teach them in all-inclusive, all every event, He was teaching them. And we get to see that, don't we? Because at sometimes, He's teaching them a lesson which they don't understand. He's just teaching them, I love you. Bottom of the boat, seas are rocking like crazy. Everything's going crazy. They don't know what's happening. Christ is asleep. Comes up. You know He teaches them? This is what it looks like, and I love you. So many different events. So many different things you could go back and read. And when they didn't understand, they thought they were doing something, and Christ says, I love you. When He fed the thousands, He fed them at moments, so many different times. Because I love you. I'm a source. I am the bread of life. See that? I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd. I love you. Or even in times of rebuke. Hey, Peter, get behind me. You're just like Satan. You know what you're saying? You're wrong. I'm sorry, I'm just going to be truthful with you. You're wrong. He's loving them. He's loving them. And so He gets to make this statement. And we need to be taught by Him. And I want to say something else for, again, introduction. I'm still in introduction, but I'm tracking my time. This is a spiritual lesson. Well, it took 2 minutes to do that. I'm doing great. This is a spiritual lesson. It has to be consistent with everything that God has taught. I cannot teach you, and here's what I want to get you to understand this morning. I'm not going to be able to teach you to love one another without it being tied to the Spirit of God working in your life. There is nothing, I cannot give you a list of 10 items that if you will do this in this church, then you will see that we love each other. Here's our top 10. This is what it means to love each other. Now, we could go to some scriptures, and in all honesty, we could pull some of those things out and say, this is what it looks like. Because, matter of fact, 1 John just does that. If anybody needs that list, go read 1 John this week. Okay, so I'm just giving you a good amount of homework. What does it mean to love? Go read 1 John. It's in there. My point is, or what I want you to get, is that it has to be consistent across the board of what we've learned. And here's what I want to tie it to pretty quickly, because we only learned it last week. This is important. Last week we learned this, being connected to the vine, he says. And John chapter 15 and 5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do what? Nothing. You can do nothing. If you're going to learn from Christ, you have to be consistent with everything He's taught. If you're going to learn to love one another, You have to be consistent. And in our message, matter of fact, this is all tied right here, wrapped up in the middle. All this is tied together. We broke it down in a couple of verses, right? We made a divide here, but this is what Christ says. As the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. Now, what commandments is that? What is the commandment? Well, we could say they're all. There's a lot of them. But our text says this morning, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. That's the commandment. Keep all of his commandments. There's more than just this, but if he says, listen, you will abide in me if you keep my commandments. Now here's one of my commandments, that you love one another. Before I read the rest of our text, I just want to ask you something if you're ready. Are you ready? Do you really even, not only are you ready, do you want to say today, right now, today, in this moment of time, I am ready to consider Christ in my relationships. Right now, today, I'm going to consider the work of Christ in my relationships. And I want you to think about that for a second. I want you to think about who those relationships are. Because these are real people, aren't they? These are family members, right? These are people we're going to go home with today. This is broader family. This is close family. This is our children whom we look at day in and day out. This is the people in which you commune with in the church, isn't it? It is the people in which you are sitting beside right now. The commandment is to those people. These are the only people. If you're here today, then I'm just going to say this is your church. It's those people that he's talking about. More than that, it can go beyond. Go into believers in which you work with. There's other people that are included in this. But you got to say, am I really ready? And you're going to have to ask yourself, do I really want Christ to be doing a work? If we're not ready for that, listen, if the question is not, I am willing for Christ to do a work, then we are not starting in the right spot. It may sound good. You may get encouraged. But I want to get to Christ. I want to get to Christ in working to you and through you to others. Okay? Sounds like a good point to pray. Let's pray together. Father, it is true that when you gave this commandment and you included it in your word, that it has continued with the same responsibility all the way down to us. When we read it today, we're going to read something that is command on our life. But today we're going to also be thinking about the people that we relate to. Father, I want you to do a work in this church. I want you to grow every single one of us in the relationships of the people around us. And Father, I'm just going to ask you right up front to even confess that I need you to do a work. I know what it looks like for it not to be done well. And I know what it looks like for people to try to do it on their own. And Father, sometimes people do a pretty good, decent job. They get a pretty good appearance. A pretty good appearance of things being done well. Forgive us, Father, if that appearance has nothing to do with you. Forgive us if our relationships of loving one another looks only like the world. Or that if our appearance has no source of the Spirit working in our life towards our relationship to other people. No evidence. Father, forgive us if there's no prayer. for not praying for you to do a work in these relationships, then how in the world can we ever think that you're doing it? We're not asking. We're just doing. Father, a lot of people in this room are going to wear themselves out trying to accomplish what you've said you want to accomplish. Connect them back to you through the vine. You are the vine. So they're already there. If they're a believer of yours, they're connected. So help them to see that you want to bear fruit in their life. In this, in your name. Amen. So we're ready. So turn to John chapter 15, verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I've called you friends, for all things that I've heard from my Father, I've made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. So we've seen that these few verses start with a command and close with a command. Christ is heavily concerned that you love one another. And a lot of times we're thinking, well, because that's not only to our benefit, but the benefit of other people. But the reason that Christ wants and commands us to love one another, because it is a movement of Him to make this happen. It is a movement of God to accomplish this. And so Christ knows that He's not going to be here physically, but He's left us here. And Christ came in the flesh to minister to us, didn't He? We're still in the flesh. He desires, His will is that people are ministered to in the flesh. Real people ministering Christ to other people. Grasp that for a second. God wants to be seen working still in the physical world that you're in. And He wants it to be seen, though, that it's Him doing it. That's weird. Christ, knowing how He's created us, right? He's created us. At the very beginning of Adam and Eve, when they sinned against Him, they had a physical issue, didn't they? They were naked. They realized it. They had a physical need. And Christ let them see that so that He could physically meet that one need, didn't He? And He met other needs. But He clothed them, didn't He? He clothed them. God wants to work in the physical world. He does not want us, as we're going to talk about how He works through us spiritually. But how is it that our God is so good that He knows that as us as being created beings need the physical ministry to each other? How does He do that? It's in His design. Because He didn't just call us and then just says, hey, just relate to me in heaven. It doesn't matter about, you know, that's not why we're not autonomous, is it? That's why He said we're part of a body. Could He have, again, I always think through my mind, could God have made it some other way? He could have, couldn't He? God could have made it we're autonomous. He could have made it that when you get saved, you have to go to some mountain and live alone for the rest of your life. That was the sacrifice. He could have done that. He says, you're going to relate to me on the mountain. It's not what He created, though, is it? He created us in a relationship. And so there's a lot that's wrapped in this, and there's a lot of things that God wants us to understand that it's a command. I want to read you another section that emphasizes how important this command is.
First, you just listen to this. 1 John 2:7 says, "Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you've had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness, does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes." Let me tell you something. You're going to walk in darkness. You're going to stumble unless you are abiding in Christ. If you're not abiding in Christ in your relationships, darkness is ahead of you. Okay? Darkness. Think about those relationships we're talking about. Think real quickly about those relationships. Think about who those people are that you're saying you're ready to relate to through Christ. Think about your family. Think about your kids. Think about the people in this church. And now think about something. If you are not abiding in Christ, then you're going to stumble in those relationships. You're going to stumble. And it goes on further into the degree of stumbling is that if you there's no real desire for them through Christ, then you're absolutely completely in darkness. And that means that you're not a child of God. And hating your brethren doesn't mean just going around and talking ill will about the church. Hating your brethren can be... Sorry, made her upset. She's very cute. I tell you what, I've been distracted many times. I'm not distracted by her crying as much as when I look down, I think she was watching me as I was preaching. That was good. So, it's a commandment. And the commandment is this. To love, here's the commandment. It's not just, hey, just love somebody. Hey, just be nice to somebody, right? The commandment is not just go out and encourage somebody. That's not what it is. Just go and tell somebody how much you care for them. That'll make them feel good. I get it. Won't it? I mean, listen, get your list. Most of us are going to think, I'm just going to go home. I'm going to encourage you to go home and just tell somebody how much you love them. That's a good thing to do. And I would encourage you to do that. But that's not the commandment, is it? Love as I have loved you. That's the commandment. Love as I have loved you. Big game changer here. Huge game changer. If we're honest with this, this is where we flat out miss it over and over again. I don't use too many illustrations from my own self, from my own family. But I just had an opportunity to share with my son before I came out here this morning what it means. How can dad look at the kids and say, I forgive you? And with every bit of my being, think, I can't believe what you just did. But I forgive you. It's only related when it's good. It's only related to the degree and the extent that I am forgiven by Christ. To the degree that I have been forgiven should represent and should look like to the degree that I forgive my children. If it's not to that degree, and I don't have the ability to degree, well, I shouldn't say that. I do have the ability to forgive to that degree and say, look, punishment's over. Forgive you. Starting completely fresh right now because I have been forgiven. There's no condemnation in my life. I'm not going to continue to condemn you, knowing you're probably going to do it again. To the degree that God forgives. If there's no context for Christ to you, love as I have loved you, if we don't get that, the horizontal is totally messed up. And you're going to miss the mark. And you can say, well, look, you can get all kinds of great lessons for somebody else that you can tell them. Well, look, here's the things I want to tell you, because I'm just telling you something, I've had all kinds of people come to me and tell me they're loving me with some of the weirdest ways I've ever had. It's like, you love me, but man, I love Christ, and this just don't look anything like the way that Christ loves me. But they're telling me they love me, but this, this, and this, and this. And you're thinking, good night. I need more of Christ. I want Christ. And there's a difference than having people that come to me and say they love me, and they're doing connection with the way that Christ loves me. And it's the sweetest thing I've ever received. The commandment is love the way that Christ has loved us. Now how to the, he goes on to this and he says, to what extent? What's the action that goes along with this? See, when Christ says, I've loved you, he says, I'm going to give you the example of to the extent of that love. I'm going to set the standard for you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his own, one's life for his friends. You realize what this means? You're going to lay down your life for the people you love. Why? Why do that? Well, because it makes them feel really good. And it's easy. That's not true, is it? It doesn't always make them feel good, and it's not always easy. We are going to love one another to the degree of the Christ says, to lay down his life. No greater love than that. So he shows us that that's the degree that he loves us. And it lines right up with Romans chapter 12. You can just listen to it. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable in the perfect will of God. You are called by God. If you're going to love somebody, you're already sacrificing for them. There's no way you can look at the level of God and say, listen, this is what the love of God looks like, and not see a sacrifice in there, can you? And I get it. We're all busy. We all got things going on. Where is your sacrifice for somebody? Where is the willing sacrifice to love somebody else? It's got to be in there. Because if it's not, I'm going to tell you something. If it's not a sacrifice, you won't have a relationship very long. Now, I know some of you have better relationships than maybe the people around me, but I'm going to tell you this. There's not one relationship in this world that I have not made a sacrifice for. There's not one relationship that, on a spiritual side of things, that I have not made a sacrifice for and can say, I have sacrificed this willingly. It's a sacrifice. We do it because Christ has shown us how much He would do for us. So yeah, it's going to include that sacrifice. And the more you try to hold back and the more you try to not go to the extent of Christ, the harder you're going to have to really say that you love somebody else. I love you, but. I love you, but I'm not willing to do this. I'm not willing to do that. Great love has no one to lay down his life for his friends. So that's the action. I'm going to speed up. The next thing you need to understand about what context that he's referring to us as this morning. So if we're going to love one another, this is understanding how Christ loves us. Let's just understand, we're still not even completely to you at this point. Let's understand what Christ does in relationship to us. He calls you His friend. You see that? He says, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I call you friends. For all things I've heard from my Father,
I've made known to you. So why is this so important in your relationship to love one another? Why is it so important that Christ puts in this spot of, hey, listen, you are my friends? What is he trying to communicate here? And why does he mention, I did call you servants, and now I'm calling you a friend? What's he trying to, he's trying to move them, isn't he? I mean, Christ is never without moving somebody from one point of their thought process to another. They're all linked perfectly. Well, so let's just think about this for a second. I'm not going to say all-inclusive. There's other spots you can see these words in Scripture. But in this particular text, let's just identify first what it obviously has to include. If God is your friend, he refers to you a friend because he's declared all things unto them from his Father. It's on a personal level where Christ has said, I've told you everything about my Father that you need to know. A friend has all information that's necessary for the relationship, don't they? You get a really close friend. You get a really close friend, and guess what they know? They've seen your good and they've seen your bad, haven't they? And a really close friend, you're only going to call those people that stuck with you through those times. Those are your true friends, aren't they? Those are really your friends. There's not many of them that we get to keep like that. I've got a good friend of mine. I've had a friend since elementary school. And I guarantee if I called him right now and said, listen, I need your help today, I guarantee you he'd be there. You know why I know that? Because he's been there. He's been there. Christ is communicating not that, hey, listen, and I know some of the world, we want to think, hey, Christ is our buddy. Like, hey, he's just my friend walking down the street with me. We're cool. He's cool. We're all having fun. Christ is not communicating that he is now anything but God. He's not lowering himself, okay? Let's just understand that. God is not lowering himself down to our friendship level. What he's doing is elevating us to his, that he is communicating. He says, because you are my friend, you have this information. We have relationally, I've given you all these things. I've not held back from you. I'm not still trying to learn if you're going to accept this or not. And I have disclosed everything to you. That's the kind of relationship we have. It is to be seen as one of the closest relationships. And he wants his disciples to know, we are friends. And I used to call you servants. You know when he called them servants? It wasn't very long ago when he was trying to teach them another lesson. You know what he's trying to teach them? No servant is greater than his master. Remember when he's washing the feet? That's when he called them servants. He says, listen, here's when you're servants. When I'm washing your feet. And now, since you serve me in this context, you're not greater than me. I'm over you. He put that in to teach them. Now he goes on. He says, you know how I taught you that you were servants? And you were blown away. Remember how they were blown away by that? How in the world could he stoop down? You know what he's doing? He's sharpening their mind. Guess what he's about to do with them? He wants to blow their mind away that I am your friend. He is about to give them something that I believe is meant over time. Like when he washed their feet, is showing them as a servant. I think at that exact moment, they got it. In our text, we're going to find that he is going to blow their mind away, but I think he's going to do it in the future because he's going to tell them something's going to happen as related to them loving one another. Before we get to what he's telling them, what I want to get to that, and I'm really, really close to that. But before we get to what it is that I think he's going to blow, hopefully they're, not only blew their mind away, but hopefully yours in this, is that I want you to also know that I just can't read through this text and not deal with verse 16 says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed that you should go and bear fruit. He wanted them to know, I chose you for this. I chose you. None of the disciples ran around thinking, oh man, I saw Christ. Every single one of them, Christ came to them and said, come and follow after me. You see that? They didn't make a choice to follow after him, but he came to them and said, come and follow me. Come on. And he called them out of the world. And he called them for the purpose of bearing fruit. It's just great to know that Christ loved them.
And as a believer, it's great to know that he says, guess what? I'm redeeming you. Guess what you were? Guess what? You were dead in your trespasses and sin. Guess what? I'm going to redeem you, that you can bear fruit. This is what you need to understand with God. He is calling you out of the world so that you can do exactly what this text says. Hey, guess what? I'm choosing you so that you can love one another. Now let me ask you something. How many of us in our own capability? Maybe some of you thought you grew up with some good lessons. I'm going to be a good person that can love people in the church. Mm-mm. You don't have it. You don't have it. God calls you, puts you into the body and says, now, I'm going to help you. I've chosen you to bear fruit within this church. He's doing a work. Now, let's get to what I believe for me as I read over this text. What is it? What is the impact? What is it that as Christ says, now, I want you to love, here's the command, I want you to love one another as I have loved you. I want to get to what I read, and I get to hear that he is saying that he is going to do in relationship to this. I believe this, that if you said, I am ready to consider my relationships, if you said, I'm ready, these next words are going to be the steps in which you must take to let that relationship be carried out. If you are going to let Christ work in your relationships, it will require this next step. And if you can get this next step, I think your world changes on you. And I mean it. I think for some of you, the struggles that you're having with your relationships totally change. And you say, I don't know about that. I think you're just trying to elevate this up to some level that maybe won't deliver. Christ has called you to love one another. Here's the words. That whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. If you hear two things this morning, if you hear the command, love me as I have loved you, here's the command. Here's all the structure, isn't it? There's all the, well, how do I do that? How do I love in this situation? Well, what does the Word of God say in that situation? Go to the context. What is God saying that looks like the love of God in that situation? So you immediately have got to get the Scripture. But more than that, you have got to get to the point to where you are asking then Christ to flow through you to them. If not, God can just use His Word apart from you, can't He? What usefulness are you? God's Word is enough, isn't it? He says, and related, I believe, to all this, whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give you these things I command you, that you love one another. Very, very important in the middle of all of this is the charge, the resource, that for you to ask the Father. If you are ready, and you agreed, you said you're ready, what are you asking for in your relationships? What are you asking for? I'm closing, so I did my whole sermon, so now I'm in closing. That was my 30 minutes. Now I'm just closing. It's a different part of my message. When was the last time you asked God? When was the last time you got real serious about this and you asked God for the relationship? I'm not talking about what you know is going on in your head.
You know in your head, you know you're a believer. You know you love God. And you know He loves you. And He knows, and you know that in your relationship, that you're doing a work for some people. I get it. You're like, hey, God's Spirit moved through me. I know He did. And then other people will make testimony. I've heard it. We've had testimony nights to see how God has worked through you. Now, where are we dropping the ball? Who in this church is asking God how to love each other continually? Who is going to God and saying, Father, teach me, and here's what I'm asking of you. I'm asking you because your word says this, and I'm in this relationship. Now, Father, I need you to do this work. I'm asking you to do this work, and I want to be obedient, and I don't want to miss that mark. That's going to take some time. You're going to have to slow down. If we won't slow down, guys, and we won't ask of God, then how is He moving? I mean, He can do it. But we are not getting the resource, are we? We're not getting the resource. How great would it be to actually pray for a relationship you're in, for Christ to be seen there? What would it mean to start your day? Maybe some of us need to start in a few minutes. We're going to pray. What would it mean for tomorrow for you to start your day? And say, Father, here's the relationships I'm in today. Now, what would it mean for you to already know ahead of time or go through His Word and say, Father, this is the relationship I'm in. I can see what's going on. And this is what you would look like in this situation. This is what you look like. And I want you to be seen. I want to get out of it. I don't want it to be seen as me. I want you to be seen. Let me ask you something. Maybe it's just because let's just go quickly. What would it look like between you and your spouse? Would something be different there? Called to love them as Christ has loved them. Would it be any different? Would they think just, well, he's or she is just ministering to me like a Christian minister? They would think, man, Christ just did something. What about with your kids? Is it more important for your kids to behave, or is it more important for you to relate to them through Christ? Is it, as parents, are you just concerned with some of the externals? Are you really concerned about their heart? Are we really asking God to let us be the example from Him to them? What about unbelievers? Man, just go through the list. What about, and then even into the church. Do we have anybody that you're saying right now, listen, I am praying for God to use me in this relationship, in this church right now. I'm praying for God to use me in this relationship. As Christ has loved me, I'm planning on ministering and I'm praying for somebody. If you're not thinking specifically about people, right? If we're just waiting for God to do it automatically, we're probably not asking, are we? How are we asking? And you say, well, because I'm just asking, you know, like generally speaking. Well, I think God can answer general prayers and kind of answer. He knows the desires of our heart. He tells us that. But He says, listen, come and be persistent and knock on the door. You know what the persistent, you know who's knocking in that? You know who's knocking? You know what the parable says, who's knocking on whose doors? Guess who it is? It says a friend. It says a friend. Now who's going to be a friend? Because God is your friend in the fact that He has disclosed everything to you. Now neglect that friendship, and you're neglecting your friendship unto somebody else. I love you. And I am not there, but I want to relate to you through Christ. That's what I want to do in my relationships. Man, I need you to pray for me. I need you to pray for me. I need to be praying for you. Let's pray together. Father, you are giving us a great example, and I didn't even get to all the spots that teach us how this happens, like the fruits of the Spirit, what it looks like, and all the things in 1 John that teach us what it looks like to love one another. There's so many things there. Father, today I just want to rest upon these people's minds is that consistent with your word is they can't do it. They need you. Our relationships need you. And Father, it will be a great joy of our heart if this, after this message today, if we say we're really ready, that starting right now, we will come before you, we will go before your word, and we will start relating to each other like you relate to us. And I pray that the families would start to see and know this is why we're doing what we're doing. This is it. This is the reason. Christ is the reason. And then people, as they relate to each other in this church, they will know that this Christ is the reason. What a beautiful thing it is to be able to see how you love us and you have given us the resource to ask whatever we need so that we will love others and you will be glorified in your name. Amen.